Enkindle in us the fire of thy love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are many interesting things to note in the Pentecost vigil ceremonies over and above the wonderful texts which some of you have been faithfully following in your missals. Many signs and ceremonies, some intended, some not. The mysterious crashes and noises serve as a kind of an anticipation, I suppose, of the great crash of the Gloria, which in turn anticipates tomorrow's great noise as of a white mighty wind coming, the Holy Ghost descending upon Our Lady and the apostles in the upper room. Water, really the church is most of all thinking about water today. And nature goes along with it. The heavens, of course, hang heavy with humidity. This is, after all, the Ohio Valley. But this kind of humidity, which comes in the sweet morning hours, we graciously refer to at this season as dew, yet another symbol of God the Holy Ghost. And in the blessing of the font, water is consecrated and set aside by the power of the Holy Ghost, so that all of the baptisms that take place by our fathers between now and next Easter really are in the Holy Ghost and really are participating in the great graces of this Pentecost. The celebrant sings a beautiful preface enumerating all of the different possible uses and symbolisms and connections with Christ of the water. And of course, we're thinking of water because do you remember from the Easter sermon in your own studies that our Lord lay in the sepulcher on Holy Saturday, and our way to participate in Christ's death and burial and also his resurrection is by means of the water. So it's very important today, the water. And yet really what we are all thinking about is fire, the tongues parted and as it were of fire, which sat over the head of all of those who received the Holy Ghost, the first Pentecost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, which we pray and beg be enkindled in the souls of these future soldiers of Christ this morning, and in us, old veterans of the combat as we are, we need a little warming up today. I mean, on the inside, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, to help us, the church at this Pentecost season gives us a marvelous array of fire saints. Saint Philip Neri came this week. Remember when he was praying at the catacombs in Rome one night, a globe of fire came and entered him through his mouth and went down to his heart and so enlarged it with the burning love of God that he broke two ribs. And he felt a great heat, a warmth there, day and night, so much so that when the Holy Father, with the proper concern for the decorum of the sacrament, prescribed that all confessors in Rome should wear a surplice to hear confessions, he complained to the Pope with a certain holy liberty, saying that how could he expect him to do that? Didn't he know that already his heart was almost unbearably warm with the Holy Ghost? Now, the same thing happened to yesterday's saint, Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, a Carmelite of 16th century Florence. She sometimes would drink cold water in a vain effort to cool down her heart because it was on fire with the love of God, a fire that was physically felt. But most of all, I think of those saints who, by means of fire, testified to their faith in Jesus Christ and died as martyrs. Just last week, we had the interesting observant Franciscan, the blessed John Forrest, who was a chaplain and almoner to the Queen of England, Catherine of Aragon. He was burned at the stake by Henry VIII because he refused to deny the primacy of the Roman pontiff and to strip away the Pope's powers, he would not. Curious thing, isn't it? He was burned and slowly to death, slowly, because the wind so disposed things, God's will. And yet today, it doesn't take a fire to make almost all Catholics, of whatever self-description, deny the prerogatives and the primacy, thus, of the Roman pontiff. He died as well for the sanctity of marriage against false annulments. And then the main saint, the saint whom we have today of fire, is Saint Joan of Arc. She testified to the kingship of Christ in her flames. Du par du roi du ciel, she would say, telling Burgundian counts and the Dauphin and English generals, I speak to you on the part and by the command of the King of Heaven. He will be King of France. And the Dauphin must be crowned, Charles must be, because he will be the vice-regent of Christ the King. And for this, they took her and tried her for a witch and a heretic and burned her at the stake. It is interesting to note that both of these last saints seem in some sense, although not thoroughly, but in some sense to have partially recanted, and then by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to have recognized their error, and our Lord graciously allowed them fire by means of burning away any cowardice or caviling on their part when it came to confessing Christ, our glorious King, and his church. The fire saints, I think, point the way to us. But remember what St. Paul says, if I should give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That is to say, there must be not just fire on the outside, but fire burning within. How do you keep the flame burning? You have to feed it. If it is not fed, it will go out. Spiritum nolite extinguere, St. Paul warns all of us, but I'm thinking especially of our future soldiers of Christ and their parents and their sponsors. Do not extinguish the Spirit. What is it that causes so many who are confirmed to fall away? Somebody gets in there and puts out the fire. God help us for the perversity of our age. Sometimes it's a father or a mother. And sometimes it's just friends and schoolmates or the allure of this world. But the fire is going to burn. You cannot put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. It will burn either in our heart hot, causing some discomfort and palpably felt, or that fire will burn no longer of God's love, but now of his justice, forever in hell. And it is our choice. Do not extinguish the Spirit. How do we feed the fire? St. Philip Neri used to say in his way, sweetly, gently, with a little chuckle, he would say to the young men who came to him for confession, deeds, not words, deeds. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi emphasized suffering. She would say, pati non mori, to suffer, not to die, to suffer. That's God's will, as long as it is his will. The suffering that God calls upon us to make and the deeds he is looking for are those indicated by the saint pope who beatified Joan of Arc. This age, this time more than any other, calls for action. Saint Pius X. We have to be up and about God's will in God's way and leave aside all of this ecumenism and smiling and would you like another cup of tea? Oh no. We need a bit of the spirit of the first Carmelite, we who are, all of us, honorary Carmelites, Elias the prophet, who called down fire from heaven to consume his holocaust, and then who slew the priests of Baal for their false worship and for their blasphemy. That is what it takes to call down, fire from heaven that leads to the slaying of the false priests. That is to say, to drive out and to destroy error wherever it is found. But also, the holocaust must be consumed with fire from heaven, as God the Holy Ghost consumed the sacrifice of his, of our Lord, the Son of God, on the cross. So must he consume ours. Children, do you remember on Thursday we spoke about what fire does? And you volunteered readily that fire burns. Yes, that's true. What does it burn, I asked you. And someone helpfully responded, it burns garbage. Well, that's right. Fire does burn garbage. That's the first thing you need this fire to do in your souls. And you veterans, gather round the can because we've got some garbage, all of us, to burn. That is to say, every trace of compromise with the world and with error, all falsehood, and all of our plain old garden variety sins must be thrown into the fire and burned up. That is the first purpose which fire serves. But after having purified us, I think we talked about this on Thursday too, fire also gives light when it is dark. If you have a match and you have a candle, you can have enough fire to see by, enough light, so you won't stumble and fall. The fire of the Holy Ghost enlightens us as to what we must do, as to how we have to respond to this urgent call of Mother Church for action, and not just for words. And then, last of all, and this is important, fire must consume the Holocaust. Christ did become king, at least in some sense and for some time, of the eldest daughter of France, because of the holocaust for an odor of sweetness, that virgin of Domrémy, Jean Le Poussel, little Joan of Arc. Our Lord accepted her sacrifice. He will accept the sacrifice of these little ones in their innocence and purity, and he will accept our sacrifice as well, if only we beg him, the Holy Ghost, to come down and put us on fire, so that, like Joan of Arc, at the end, when we die, as St. Philip Neri says, and last of all, we die. At the end, when we die, they sifted through the ashes of the pyre at Rouen, and they found just the heart of Joan of Arc left, glowing like a charcoal in a fire still, with the love of God. Where are you in this process? Some of you have put out the fire a long time ago and are content with your way of life. Others are all the time just collecting a little pile of garbage and setting it alight, and the next week we do the same thing again. Others, perhaps, are now being enlightened by God as to how to get the garbage out of our life and our mind and our faith, and to serve God worthily. And all of us are on our way to becoming an acceptable holocaust to God, a true and a real one, by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let us ask him to do that for us today as we pray today and again tomorrow. Come, Holy Ghost, enkindle in us the fire of thy love. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.